This is the Real Talk University podcast, where your hosts, Andre and Christian, explore success stories outside of the classroom.
What is going on, Real Talk fam? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Real Talk University podcast. This is our third interview episode of season two. And we're super excited for this episode because we brought on Alex Benayan. We've been tracking this dude down since we started the podcast back in October 2018. And we're finally releasing an episode and an interview that we just recently did with him. So we're super excited. Alex is the author of a best-selling book, The Third Door, which features interviews with the likes of Bill Gates, Steve Wozniak, Tim Ferriss, and many other elite names. And on his seven-year, quest to track down these people and write the book, Alex learned a lot of massively valuable lessons, as you would assume, and we're happy to, you know, share this interview with you so that you could learn more about those lessons. And I'm gonna pass it off to Christian real quick so that he could share the first of our three major takeaways from the episode.
All right, so one thing that stuck out to us was that the law of attraction is real. Alex was really putting an emphasis on, like, no matter how crazy your wishes are, like writing a book that tracks down like elite entrepreneurs by traveling the country and seeking them in person, if you just speak them into existence and have the right mindset, it will happen. So like the example he gave us was to look around the room and find everything that's red. And then once we did it, he said, did you see anything that was blue? And obviously we said no, because we were so focused on the red that we didn't see anything that was blue. So if your mindset's correct, the things that you need to find will stick out to you no matter where you're looking, and you'll have a purpose for your searches. And in that way, you can get to where you want to go and just always be successful no matter what you're doing or how crazy it may sound initially.
Yep, exactly right. And our second takeaway from the episode is that hard work comes through passion. So if you're passionate about something and if you deeply care about something, you'll outwork anyone else that's trying to do it. An example Alex gave in the interview was how he was talking about in college, he would just sit on his college dorm bed and just stare at the ceiling, uninspired and having no inspiration to do anything with his life, until he kind of started to take interest into how these successful people came to be, which led him to the, you know, seven-year quest that resulted in the Third Door book. So having a passion or an interest or a genuine interest in something, you know, that you can pinpoint is essential to hard work and will allow you to outwork the rest of your competition.
Yep. And then the last thing he really put an emphasis on was to go out and try things, especially if you're in college. So first and foremost, if you know what you want to do with your career, it might seem easy to just be dormant and not do anything in college. But honestly, if you just get out there and get involved in every organization or group of people or meeting that is involved with the thing you want to do, like let's say accounting, go join your accounting association, join an accounting club, TA for an accounting class. Just hone your skills, get familiar with it so that when you go out and actually want to do it, you're the most prepared person in the whole industry at your whole school, and you'll stick out to recruiters. And even for entrepreneurship, if you want to pursue something specific, go out and try it in college. Don't be afraid. And then on the flip side, if you don't know what you want to do, that's like when you really have to go out and just do things, because just sitting around will never teach you what you want to do in your life. And if you go out and try stuff, the worst thing that you can do is say that you don't like it and move on. So that's the best way to find your passion or follow through on your passion, like he said. So just be sure, especially if you're in college, we know a lot of you guys are, go out and try stuff, basically. Just find what you're passionate about in the real world.
Yep, exactly right, guys. So really excited for you guys to get a chance to listen to the full interview. So definitely stick around for the long haul. And as always, follow us on Instagram. Follow Christian and I both on LinkedIn. We're posting daily content on there and really building a strong community on there. So definitely join us with that. And yeah, let us know what you think about the episode. We really hope that you guys enjoy it. How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning into all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's B-I-T dot, that's a full stop, L-Y slash RTU ebook, E-B-O-O-K. Get your free copy today before this offer expires.
Absolutely. I'm ready to rock when you guys are.
Yeah, us too. We're not going to waste any of your time. I know you're pretty busy today. So thank you again for taking the time to come on our podcast. This is Real Talk University. You're a perfect guest for this podcast. Basically, we have a very similar story to yours on how you wrote The Third Door, your book, where basically you tried to get yourself around very big entrepreneurs, very big names that really shook up the industry, and interview them. And yours is for a book and ours was for a podcast. And we're just really excited to have you on. And if you could just start off by telling the audience who you are and what you're currently up to.
I am the author of The Third Door, which is a book about my 7-year journey tracking down the world's most successful people and figuring out when they were just starting how they did it. And the book came out last year in the United States and became a national bestseller. It came out this year in over 12 languages and became a number one international bestseller. So I'm very happy.
Yeah, you're crushing it, man. And I just have a question, because I know when you set out to write the book, you were really focused on learning about these guys' stories that you wrote about. But what I saw happen was that your story on actually going out to pursue and make this book a reality was almost the best part of the book. So if you could talk to that a little bit and how, you know, your focus changed through the 7 years and what you learned and whatnot.
You know, when I started working on The Third Door, I was 18 years old, a freshman in college, and I was spending every day lying on my dorm room bed, staring up at the ceiling. And I was going through the, you know, what I want to do with my life crisis. And not only did I not know what I wanted to do, I had no idea how all the people who I looked up to, how they did it. You know, how did Bill Gates sell his first piece of software out of his dorm room when nobody knew his name? Or how did Spielberg become the youngest director in Hollywood history without a single hit under his belt? You know, this is what they don't teach you in school. So I just assumed there had to be a book with the answers. So I, you know, went to the library and went on Amazon and started ripping through, you know, business books and biographies and self-help books, assuming there had to be a book with the answer. And what I was obsessed with was finding out when, you know, no one would take their calls, no one would take their meetings. How did these people find a way to break through and launch their careers? And eventually I was left empty-handed. So that's when my naive 18-year-old thinking kicked in. And I thought, well, if no one's, you know, written the book I'm dreaming of reading, why not write it myself? And from there, it turned into this, you know, 7-year journey. It took 2 years for me to track down Bill Gates and interview him. It took 3 years to track down Lady Gaga, from, you know, Larry King to Steve Wozniak, Jessica Alba, Tim Ferriss, Quincy Jones, Pitbull. You know, it's been this unbelievable journey. And a lot of the best lessons in the book come from, like you said, you know, my journey and trying to figure out how to make this all happen too, in the sense of, you know, I spent 8 months going after Warren Buffett. I, you know, my interactions with, you know, Steven Spielberg, and, you know, my disastrous situation with Mark Zuckerberg. They all taught me tremendously important and many times painful lessons and what it takes to actually make your dream a reality.
Right. So I just want to like talk about the cliche saying where like you have to enjoy the journey more than the outcome if you want to be successful. So obviously for you, that's very tangible, because your journey was incredible going across the country and chasing people down for years on years. So how did you manage to stay positive in the process and just enjoy what you were doing?
You know, I wasn't always positive, man. Sometimes it was really painful. You know, there were times where I was adamant that I'm going to fucking give up. There were times where I would be literally on the floor crying. And I think a lot of people talk about, you know, love the grind, love the hustle, but when you're actually doing something you care about, you know, there's this great quote by Paulo Coelho, the author of The Alchemist, that says, you know, when you're in school and you get an F on a test, it hurts. But when you're doing, you know, what you're really, you know, passionate about, what you really feel called to do, and you fail, it's completely debilitating. And there are a lot of times where it was painful. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned over the past 7 years is that I always thought that fear and mistakes and pain and failure were a sign that my dream was broken, that there was something wrong with what I was trying to do. Only now can I see that fear and failure and mistakes are a natural part of the entrepreneurial journey. So whether you want to write a book, start a business, become a musician, whatever you're passionate about, if you're doing something that's, you know, new in any way or ambitious in any sort of way, you're going to mess up along the way. And, you know, the people who say, you know, failure is great, like, I think they're fucking crazy. It's really painful. But I think what they're trying to say is that the long-term result of making mistakes is important if you learn from them and grow from them. Because that's how you get better, and that's how you achieve a dream.
Yeah, it makes it all worth it. And you talked about fear for a little bit in that section. And I heard on one of your interviews just talking about your outlook on fear and how you almost agree with it now. So if you could talk about that tactic a little bit and how you used it on your seven-year journey.
There's a book that I read that, you know, really changed my life, and it's called When Things Fall Apart. When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. And in the book, she talks about how, similar to what I just said, you know, fear is a natural part of the human experience. And fighting your fear, fighting your insecurities, become this almost impossible to win civil war within yourself, because your fears are part of yourself. So if you're fighting your fears, you're actually fighting yourself. And if you're like me, when I, you know, argue my fears or fight my fears or try to push them away, they actually just get stronger and stronger and stronger. And what I've learned is that only when you, and Pema Chodron talks about this perfectly, only when you acknowledge your fear and agree with your fear, only then does it begin to relax and release its grip. And then you can keep going forward.
Yeah, that's such a cool way to look at it, because like you said, I feel like a lot of people are always trying to combat fear. So in your seven-year journey with interviews with all those names you mentioned, what would you say was a time when you were the most fearful?
Dude, the whole way through. the whole way through. And I think it was actually like funny. I was yesterday thinking about this a little. I'm like, man, I wonder if I can like talk to Barack Obama and ask him like how, like, what were like the scariest moments while he was president? Like, when was he scared that shit was going, you know? I think there's this, you know, implicit message that, you know, when you're successful, when you know what you're doing, all of a sudden you don't feel fear anymore. It's only when you're young and don't know what you're doing that you feel fear. That's not true. Fear is, again, it's a natural part of the human experience. So the key is actually to familiarize yourself with fear, so you can get more comfortable. You know, almost think of fear as like, you know, ice cold water. The key isn't to change the water. The key is to get used to and slowly get more comfortable being in that water.
Right. That makes a whole lot of sense there. But I just want to go into the more positive aspect of your journey. Like, what would you say were some of the more influential moments of when you were speaking to all these successful people?
I definitely know like the moments where, you know, I was like crying from happiness, you know, when I got the yes from Bill Gates after 2 years of trying to get him to be in the book, getting the publishing deal. You know, to my surprise, it was a lot harder to get a publishing deal than I thought, but, you know, able to make that happen. And the ultimate goal for the book, though, wasn't just about me going on this journey. I believe that if all these people came together, you know, not for press, not to promote anything, but really just to share their best wisdom with the next generation, young people could do so much more. And getting messages from readers, whether it's on, you know, Instagram or email, and hearing how much the book has impacted their lives is, you know, the greatest gift. You know, that is the, you know, that is the trophy. I was listening to Jerry Seinfeld talk about how he just like hates going to, you know, award shows and accepting trophies because it's like so dumb, because the work is the trophy. And I'm, you know, really lucky that I am doing something that I find so, you know, fulfilling and meaningful. And the work, you know, the work is the reward, even though it can sometimes be, you know, really, really, really tough.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we're in college now, and a majority of our audience that listen to the podcast are also younger college students. So, like, what would you say your outlook now is on college? For us, it's, we're really focused on self-educating, like you mentioned, and like you teach in the book. So what would you recommend for college students to do now to get ahead or to network in, you know, 2019?
So the key is, you know, there's almost like two positions to be in. When you're in college and you know what you want to do, or when you're in college and you don't know what you want to do. So my answer would be different for, you know, which, you know, side of that spectrum you land on. Let's say you know you want to be an entrepreneur, or, you know, while you're in college, start making businesses. You know, Mark Zuckerberg had 12 different projects before Facebook took off. No one talks about that, but that's the reality. You know, Bill Gates, Microsoft was not his first company he started. His first company was Trafodata. So just start, and the best time to start is literally right now. And do what you can with what you have. So if you don't have money, literally start a company that doesn't require any startup capital. If you do have, you know, do what you can with what you have. And if you do want to be an, let's say you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be an author, make a list of the 25, you know, most successful entrepreneurs or authors in whatever city you're in, and reach out to them very thoughtfully and ask them if you can, you know, ask them a few questions or come by their office and shadow them. Especially if you're in college, this is the best time to do that. So that's if, you know, you have an idea or a sense of what direction you want to go in. And again, you might not know for sure, but maybe you're interested in entrepreneurship, or you're interested in tech. That's enough to just try. Now let's say you don't have an idea of what you want to do. This is what I would say. First of all, even if you don't know exactly what you want to do, you know what your general interests are. Even if you don't, you know, you can't pin down an exact career, you know what your general interests are. You might really be interested in entertainment, or you might be interested in, you know, academia or science, or, you know, what makes you excited when you're not doing your schoolwork and procrastinating? What are you like reading online? What are you looking at on Instagram? Are you looking at graphic design stuff? Are you looking at, you know, video games? Are you looking at business stuff? Like, what are you interested in? You don't have to know exactly what you want to do for your whole life, but I'm sure even if you don't know what you want to do, you can come up with, you know, 3 to 5 things, broad things that you're interested in. And once you pin those down, start reading more in depth about those things. Start, you know, meeting people who actually do that for a living. You'll start noticing, you know, maybe you thought you liked tech, but you started meeting, you know, different people who work in venture capital, and you're like, that's not really my vibe. Oh, but I really like working in marketing in a tech company. Like, every person who I meet who does that, that seems really exciting for me. It's almost like, you know, going to an ice cream shop where there's, you know, 31 flavors, and yeah, maybe you don't know what you want to, you know, eat for the rest of your life, but you definitely know in general what you're interested in. And maybe, you know, in general, you like fruit flavored ice cream. Okay. So you're going to try the strawberry, you're going to try the banana, you're going to try, you know, maybe even the mint, and, you know, sort of see which one gets you the most excited. And it's not rocket science, but what happens is people get so intimidated by the daunting, you know, what do I do with my life, that you don't go out there and try. And by trying and experimenting, the path will lead you to your answer.
Right. I definitely think taking action in college is just like the most important thing anybody could do. And obviously you knew exactly what you wanted to do with writing your book. So I'm just wondering, how were you able
to? Yeah, but I didn't think it was a career. I think it's important to say I didn't think it was a career. It was a thing. It was like a side project while I was in school, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I actually wrote the book because I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. I went to college as a pre-med, and when I decided I didn't want to be a pre-med, that's when the book came about.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask, like, how did you go about obtaining the funding for traveling and things like that to support yourself while you went on the journey?
So two nights before final exams, I was in the library, you know, trying to think of, you know, how I was going to get money to fund this journey. And I ended up finding tickets to the game show The Price is Right. And, you know, the show was filming the next day, and I was in college in Los Angeles, not too far where the show filmed. And that night I decided to do the logical thing and pull an all-nighter to study. But I didn't study for finals. I studied how to hack The Price is Right. And I went on the show the next day and did this ridiculous strategy. And I ended up winning the whole showcase showdown, winning the sailboat, selling the sailboat. And that's how I funded the book.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's insane.
Do you believe in like law of attraction or anything like that? Like putting out like a want or need into the universe and like things just coming together to like make it happen? Or was that just like pure luck, do you think?
I think there's definitely some truth to that, in the sense of your intention does, there is a cause and effect. Now, what actually leads to it is this, is it this mystical, magical thing that, you know, comes out of nowhere? I don't know if it's, I would take it to that extreme, but I also know that, you know, if I told you, you know, to look around, whatever room you're in right now, look around and just focus on all the things that are the color red. You know, the more things you can find that are color red, you know, if you can find all of them, I'll give you $1 million. You know, look around, you'd probably, you know, find all the red. And then if I told you, you know, how many blue things did you see, you would say, you know, oh shit, I didn't see any. And I think law of attraction sort of works that way too, which is if your, you know, biggest intention is, all right, I need to find a way to make, you know, get money to fund this journey. I need to find a way to make money to find this journey, to fund this journey. All of a sudden, I see a random Facebook post offering free tickets to The Price is Right. And it just fits into what I'm like constantly thinking about is, oh, wait, what if I go on this show and win some money? If I didn't, you know, have that desire, maybe I wouldn't have seen it.
That's actually insane, because I feel like for me and Andre, I'm Christian, by the way, nice to meet you. But for us personally, like, we've definitely felt that since we've started the podcast, the opportunities presented in the entrepreneurship world have definitely manifested themselves much more than previous to when we didn't have the podcast. So I definitely think you're right. And that analogy that you used with the whole look for the red around the room was 100% true. So I just want to transition into more of the post-launch journey that you've had. So have you ever had thoughts of like what's next, or how do you stay away from being complacent?
To me, my big thing is, a friend of mine and I always talk about, you know, the key is to really follow your enthusiasm and following what's really exciting for you. And a lot of that requires a lot of trust. You have to be, it's taken me a long time to get here too, you know, trusting in your abilities and trusting your journey. You know, I definitely didn't trust the journey in the beginning. So it's not this like easy thing where I just, you know, say, you know, just trust the journey. No, it's definitely taken me a long time. But for me, it's really about following my enthusiasm. And that's, you know, you're not complacent if you're doing things you're excited about. If you're doing things that are boring for you, that's how you get complacent. If you're doing things that you don't care about, that's how you get complacent. If you're excited, you know, LeBron doesn't go to the gym every day because, you know, that's his job. He does it because he fucking loves basketball and he loves competing. And if you're doing something that you're super excited about, you're just gonna outwork everyone. And if you're doing something that you don't care about, I'm like the worst, I would be the worst employee of all time. Like if a boss gives me, you know, a task that I don't care about, I literally will find whatever ways to cut corners and not, you know, do it well. But if I'm doing something that I personally care about, I'll spend, you know, 20 hours a day working on it. And I think that is really the answer for the complacency, which is find something that you care about so much that even if no one's paying you, you're crushing it because it's so fun for you. And it's so exciting. And
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And I think people like they, you know, I was giving a talk the other day. Normally I give keynotes to corporations, but I was doing a keynote at FedEx and they had this high school in their, you know, in the town of their headquarters, where they, you know, sponsor the high school. So I gave a keynote to FedEx, but I also gave a free keynote just for this high school as part of the deal with FedEx. And I literally looked at the kids and I'm like, when I was in high school, I hated reading. Because number one, I didn't give a shit about any of the books they told us about. Number two, I had no benefit of why reading these books would actually like be fun or exciting or make my life better. But the second I got to college, I still didn't like reading any textbooks, but I finally had enough free time in college to start reading books that I was interested in. So I started reading books like The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and I started watching YouTube videos by Gary Vaynerchuk. And all of a sudden, like I'm now spending all of my time reading because I was so excited. Because when you're reading a book that, first of all, is well-written and interesting, and second, gives you things that makes your life better tangibly. Like you have a tangible before and after effect after reading that book. Why the fuck would you not read that book? It's the best use of $15 or $20 of your entire life. And I think the key is finding what you actually care about. Okay. Do you want to, you know, get healthy? Great. There's a book for $20 that will literally make you the healthiest you've ever been if you do what it says. Do you want to, you know, launch your career? Boom. You know, read The Third Door. If you want to, have more inner peace, boom, there's books on meditation. Like, find what you care about and go out and read those books and make it happen yourself. And what's great about college, it actually gives you a very safe place to be able to explore what you're interested in and explore trying out different things. And what's great is even after college, this is the secret, you can keep doing it too.
Exactly. Exactly. That's our mindset as well, as just with school. Like you said, it's really hard to get me or Christian to like do the work or be enthusiastic about homework and stuff like that. But when it comes to stuff with the podcast and self-education and side hustles, it's like a no-brainer. Like you said, we've been doing this like unpaid for almost a year now, and it's like the best thing we've ever done. So
yeah, you guys are doing it, man. I'm super, super proud of you guys.
No, I appreciate it. So we're almost wrapped up here. We're just going to go into the lightning round real quick.
Let's do it. Lightning round.
Yeah. The first thing is, do you have any questions for us before we move forward?
What is the hardest part of running the podcast?
I would say just the resources. Since we're doing it for free, we don't have an income to like bolster up our studio or our equipment. So like right now, we're speaking into a MacBook because we left our mic at home and we're using AirPods as speakers or headphones. So like we just make do with what we have, but it's definitely a challenge and we hope to, you know, buff it up in the future.
Cool. Well, with $100, you can have a world-class, you know, microphone system. And I definitely think it's worth the investment.
Yeah. We just forgot it in the dorm today, but next time. Yeah. But other than that, it's been, you know, obviously you learn a lot as you continue to go and find better platforms to use in terms of like audio editing, recording, setting up meetings, all that kind of stuff. But it's been a great experience so far.
Awesome.
So the first question in the lightning round is, if you could have dinner with any three people alive or dead, who would they be and why? For you, I mean, you've already hit most of them, you know, bigger names out there, but
Barack Obama, Jerry Seinfeld, Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow, that would be so dope. Wow. So you got to get them in the next book.
So next, if you were in college right now, like in our situation as sophomores, what side hustle would you start and how would you go about doing it?
The whole point of a side hustle is doing one that you're very excited about, because then you're actually going to make progress with it. So everyone has a completely different answer because everyone is excited about different things. The key is to not work on a good opportunity just because it's, you know, a good time to get into tech. No, work on something that you're very, very excited about, because if you're the best at whatever you're doing, you're going to make a lot of money, you're going to make a lot of impact, and you're going to have a lot of fun.
Love that. And the last one is, what's one thing that you know today that you wish you knew when you were 19?
You don't have to beat yourself up to succeed. You can be kind to yourself and still achieve your dream.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Alex. If there's any plugs you want to put in there where they could get your book, where they could continue to follow along with your journey, just let our audience know. But just from me and Christian, really appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you guys so much. And yeah, of course, the, you know, wherever people like to buy books, whether that's Amazon or audiobooks, Audible, Kindle, Barnes and Noble, it's there. It's the third door. And if you, you know, got the book by listening to the podcast, definitely let me know so I can say thank you on Instagram. It's just at Alex Benayan.
Awesome, man. Really appreciate it.
Amazing. Thank you both so much.
For it. Yeah, of course.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.